Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
When you get a cancer diagnosis, your world stops. But not Fox Chase Cancer Center. When the science moves quickly, we move quicker. Because cancer is all we do. From the molecular level to the human level, we stay focused on your unique cancer. Not just following the science, but discovering new paths forward. Giving you a head start on better outcomes. Learn more at foxchase.org/where you start. Because where you start matters.
What is... Dax, are you...
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Hello.
Finally, but not last.
The tournament.
And also, who's in charge of your penis?
That's a new drop from today.
No one really knows.
Is anyone
really in charge? I'm Jason Sakanik. My penis is very, very important. Boy, this show really has been something today.
Yeah.
People ask all the time, like, what did we do during COVID?
Merry Christmas.
I just would like to offer this show as Exhibit A.
Yeah, if we've got 4 hours here. I think we've hit maybe 25 minutes of sports stuff. Maybe.
This was a very COVID-y show, too.
It did have a COVID feel to it. And I beg to differ. I mean, a lot of the stuff was sports-centered.
Well,
I mean,
yeah,
hello.
But it got off the rails quickly oftentimes.
And... did you not hear the Robert Kraft talk?
Colorado Rockies?
Yeah, we were talking about the Colorado Rockies, for God's sakes. Tonya Harding? What's more sportsy than Tonya Harding, for God's sakes?
Why? Nice transition, but I won't allow it.
Personal foul, false start. Wait, why were we even talking about?
About what?
Was today Nancy? Oh, no, she was on Twitter.
Yeah, Tonya Harding.
Well, Tonya's on Twitter, and also Nancy's very upset about the plane crash we're about to talk about.
Nancy is?
Yeah.
Oh, well,
Because it involves a bunch of figure skaters.
So the thing was, Tonya Harding...
Oh, that's what it was.
Tonya Harding has set up a Twitter account. or an X account.
Hello, Twitter world.
She did do that.
Did they?
And she looks...
she looks terrible.
It's rough, yeah.
And I don't want to say that.
I'm not trying to insult her. But
she less than she looks terrible, she just looks old.
Well, she just
clearly aged a
parties.
Lot.
I mean, come on, you can...
Yes.
A lot of dead gives in there.
Everyone knows that when you see a car that's maybe a little bit older, a late model sedan, everyone knows whether or not that car has been washed, waxed, put in a garage, or maybe just left out under an old oak tree and a squirrel is taking up a nest in it somewhere.
So she's on Twitter. She starts an account and she posts a video like, hey, can't wait to interact with all you guys. And
hey, she got my follow.
Oh, you followed her?
Yeah.
All right.
Someone did tweet me and said, hey, your girl's on there, and referenced that's how I thought about the erotic fiction. And so, yeah, I felt that Tonya Harding deserved a follow from me. I don't know. I don't think she's tweeted anything else.
How long before you unfollow her? 2 days?
Next
post?
I don't think she's posting anything.
Well, she will. I mean, she's not going to... No. You know why she's on Twitter?
Well, she's trying to grift for some money.
Exactly. Some people are telling her this is a way to make some money.
Her last one 7 hours ago. I'm absolutely blown away, all caps, see, erotic fiction, By the amount of love and support I've received since joining X last night, I love you all so much. XO.
Yeah.
Wait. Wait. All caps, see erotic fiction? How does that work?
Well, I'm just saying, she put in all caps, blown away.
Oh, okay. I see what you did there.
Just saying.
Good catch, Buck.
Thought that was unusual that she all caps to that.
Look, you want to go blow some ducks?
Hey, 24,000 people in one day.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, there are a lot of people that have had a resurgence on social media.
Yeah, like, weirder it's not than, the than worst. Tanya Hart.
Exactly. She's got a big name, and if she's good on there, you never know what could happen. I mean, isn't this the whole
is
thing?
Is she going to be good on there?
No, not, probably not, but you never. Look, man.
Hey, there is a lot of people on here. We're getting a lot of, we missed you. Some of us were always Team Tanya. We love you, Tanya. Welcome.
I think the thing about her that rubs me the wrong way is she's always presenting as if she's not Tanya Harding. She's this famed figure skater. And that's just that it's just not true. Like she's Tanya Harding. She's the one that galoolied Nancy Kerrigan.
Yeah.
But she's got this whole like when she's at like the public persona is like totally ignoring that. Like I'm not expecting her to lean into it. I'm just saying it's just weird.
It is weird. And well, that whole situation is weird.
The whole situation, yes, the whole situation, the whole situation screams for her to just go away and drink and smoke. Okay,
which she's been but doing. To be fair,
to be that's
true.
For
2 decades, she was getting
that's
it right.
What she did.
But to pretend like now be back and be like, oh, I'm Tanya.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
American, yeah. What's anything
it's
going on?
Kind
of
like she just popped up out of nowhere. It's like, so what's the haps?
Come on, she's a running joke.
Hey, Twitter world. Well, I don't know. Hey, she's got a lot of love and support.
Well, I think that's good. I hope that, you know, that could be a thing that helps her in life.
Yes.
I don't know.
In all honesty,
social media people.
She's had a rough go of it. Some of it her own doing. And by some of it, I mean all of it. But, you know, maybe she.
Yeah, maybe this is good for her. But she did it on the day when the U.S. figure skating community had to come out and talk about 14 of their people dying on in that plane crash in D.C.
It's not the best look in the world.
What is she doing?
I think it was a rotten coincidence. I hope it was a rotten coincidence.
I hope so,
if someone
too.
Got together and was like, hey, I know you've been thinking about doing this, and figure skating's in the headlines, you should do this now, then let's just say I take back all of my erotic Tanya Harding fiction.
Now, I thought she posted that before we knew who was on the plane.
I don't know. I was alerted.
I think that's the case.
I hope so.
I was alerted by a listener. I think Deal might have alerted me too.
Well, Deal's on it.
It was Deal. If someone's going to know that Deal, or that it would be Deal. He would be aware of this. That or Mike in Ridgefield.
Well, that was quite a mid-air collision.
It is terrifying.
Yeah, all caught on tape.
Yeah, everything's caught.
Do
on.
The kids
is
say
there anything
tape?
Not caught? Yeah, not
camera.
Yeah, no one had an 8-track out there.
The tape, you had
like
to
a handheld 8mm.
Did you ever splice tape?
I have spliced
your
tape.
Early days in radio.
I have spliced tape.
Well,
once this is a 100% true thing. My copy of Fast Times at Ridgemont High, if you rewind one section of a tape,
I bet I know the section.
You can't watch it anymore.
you cut out like a little section of it and then you tape and, you know, you miss like a little tiny bit. But
what happened to the red bikini scene?
you get the gist of it. Look, there was a lot. I was like 12 years old. There was a lot of rewinding. Just don't judge me. Cinemax didn't come in very clear all the time. Wasn't like today. Kids today have no appreciation for how hard it was back in the day.
So has anybody seen Sully Sullenberger yet? Have they woke him up from his slumber to consult
it's my
him
guy,
on?
Danville native,
I
Sully
would have thought by now that he would have done
surely
some
he's
sort
out
of,
there yeah. talking about. I mean, he has nothing. He has no ties to it whatsoever.
No,
but we need to get him on to talk about what happened?
You know my thing on public grieving and how much it bothers me? But this is a two-pronger here, because while the public grieving thing is ridiculous, this poor bastard that I think it was an ABC crew that stuck a camera in his face.
I saw that.
Absolutely kiss my rosy red ass.
Whose face?
So ABC News, obviously everyone descended upon this, right? And there was this poor bastard who my heart is just shattered for. He's sitting there. like on the tarmac, like with the emergency vehicles out in front of him, and he's sitting there and he's just zoned out. And somehow someone finds out that this guy's wife was on the plane.
Oh dear.
And ABC News comes and crams a camera in his face, and they start looking at his phone, and they're having him read the texts.
Yeah, she got service again.
Yes.
And she was like texting on their descent, like, hey, we're landing. And they caught up with him, and he's like, he's not having to, but he ends up like going through these texts live on the air with these people.
To put the camera in someone's face. And the worst part is at the end, he's like, yeah, he goes, my last couple texts didn't go through. And that's when I thought something was wrong. And he goes, I believe they're going to pull her out of the water any minute. Like you can see this glaze over his face as he knows, but he's trying to hold on to some sort of hope. And they've got the camera right there. How effed up is that? That some news producer, some jackass was like, hey, we got breaking. This is
we got a family member. We got a victim's family member.
We got to cut live to this right now. We got to have this guy read the text message. What an absolute scumbaggery thing to do to that guy.
I regret to inform you that Sully has been contacted for his thoughts on this, and they're all over the place.
Oh boy.
Of course they are.
Someone on the YouTube says that he's already been on CNN.
Exactly. He's the guy.
Sully is
call?
Quote devastated after this quote catastrophic event. So,
like what? The way we handle
this is how the news operates.
Yeah, the way we handle things, like this is like the worst thing that can happen to someone.
Hey, remember this guy? He was a pilot. Let's ask him.
Yeah.
Well, he landed on a river.
Yeah.
He was a pilot.
No one got a chance to land the plane. Did you see like the wreckage in the water? It's just nightmare fuel. The only saving grace is they say that the people on the helicopter never knew what hit them. And that the people on the airplane probably had about 2 seconds to be like, what was that? And then it was done. They said the impact would have, you know.
Well, they said this is the first in-air collision in the U.S. in 16 years. And I thought about that for a second, and I went, wait, 16 years?
Yeah.
Because my first thought is, when you see something like that, you're like, I'm surprised that doesn't happen more often.
Dude, it never happens. I mean, flying is really safe.
But 16 years... Actually, if you go look at how often it happens, it happens way more than you think.
But not
mid-air collisions.
Not domestically. And if they do...
Some of them are domestic.
Yeah, but this is the difference is they're saying this is a major carrier. Little independent planes crash all the time.
That's fair.
Because you got Johnny Jackass that has like 7 hours of flying under his belt, decides to go slaloming through some... Who was the Yankees pitcher that did that? Was it Corey?
Corey Lytle. Yeah.
Corey Lytle.
Corey Lytle had just gotten his pilot's license and decided to go cruising some rooftops.
But I don't think that was a mid-air collision. I think he just hit a building.
He hit a building.
Right.
But, you know, that happens with...
I'm talking about mid-air...
Plane hitting another...
It never happens with major airline carriers.
They said it's the first in 16 years, but that to me is like, that's not that long ago.
Remember it almost happened with that freaking Gonzaga plane the other day?
Yeah, that was...
On the tarmac.
Yeah, it came
but,
close.
I mean, one of them was moving or getting off the tarmac, I think. Anyways...
Well, when we step board, I don't know about you, but when you step on a plane, I never think about that.
Me neither.
No.
I always think about the terrifying spiral down to a, you know, like a 10-minute descent down to death.
The jet, the engine goes, and then the other one.
I always think about
and...
that. I never think about the in-air collision.
No.
I'd rather have the in-air collision.
Whenever I think of the...
Not that you want one.
Whenever I think of that, I think of Fight Club. Because in Fight Club, that's his vision, is that he just wants to get hit in a mid-air collision, and they show the scene of it. And, like, that's what I think of.
Now, how does that happen?
Well, so no one really knows for certain. So I read about 1,000 different stories on this. I'm always fascinated by aviation. I think that stuff is very, very interesting. I got to go into an air traffic control tower once, and it was, like, I was, like, a total nerd. Blew me away. One of the working theories that I saw, which was like, and they have a simulation of it. They did a computer simulation. A guy did it on a simulator. It was really creepy. So we do know that the Black Hawk helicopter, the military helicopter, was blacked out. No lights. So it was flying a training mission, and it had no lights on it. So the jet probably never saw that. But the air traffic controller was talking to it. It knew that it was there. And the jet that was coming in was on normal approach. Everything was fine. And there's communication. And the aircraft controller was telling the helicopter, you know, hey, there's a jet coming in. One of the working theories, the one that I've seen that some people are saying, hey, this actually looks like it's got some teeth to it. And when you see the simulation, so that was a smaller jet, right? It had 64 people on it. And it was coming in. Right behind it, on a slightly different angle, was a big, like, 747. A very, very large jet that would have been much brighter, much louder, all of that. And when you look at the simulation, if you look from where the Black Hawk was situated, when they were told that there was a flight incoming and that you should, you know, you should move.
They recognized the wrong flight.
It recognized the wrong aircraft. The wrong flight. They thought that, and when you see it, you're like, how did you do that? But when you see this big giant airplane coming in from a different angle, this guy who's an aviation expert, he said that he thinks it's a real possibility that they thought they were fine and had a lot of time because that jet was way behind the other one. And they were fixated on whatever they were doing. They were told, hey, you have a plane coming in. Be aware of this. They look up. You see this big jet in the distance. And you think, I'm fine. And they didn't see it until the very end when it was like, oh, my God, it's upon us. And that the airplane probably never saw, because the airplane made no attempt to move.
No, it just kept on its path.
They said the jet probably never saw the Black Hawk helicopter literally until it was 10 feet in front of them. They were going, he said, anywhere from 150 to 190 miles an hour. Never saw it. And
yeah, I was surprised to read that they said it's not uncommon for military operations like that to share airspace with those airports.
Yeah.
Feels that, like it should be uncommon. And
yeah, they say that happens all the time.
When you hear the, have you listened to any of the air traffic controller stuff?
No.
So it's talking to the Black Hawk helicopter, and when you see the flight path, the Black Hawk's kind of winding around. I mean, it's doing some sort of training flight, and it's kind of all over the map, and you can see it actively dodge. I mean, not dodge, but it gets out of the way of like three or four other flights. And the air traffic controller gets on the horn to the Black Hawk and says, basically, hey, we're really busy. We need you to go to a different airport. I think that when they say a training mission, it's possible they were saying that the Black Hawk may have been flying around an airport, kind of avoiding things. Like, that was the whole point of this, was to kind of move out of the way of things. And the air traffic controller was like, hey, we're busy. We got multiple flights coming in. And they were trying to, I think they were saying, can you go to Baltimore? They were trying to direct it to another one. And maybe the speculation was the Black Hawk thought, okay, well, we'll get out of the way of this big one coming in and then we'll go about our way. And they just never saw the... It's like how we always say, like, how do you get hit by a train? How do you not see it coming? You're fixated on something else.
Well, and then here's the other thing. I don't know if you saw the report from the New York Times, but it says that the air traffic control tower was not normal... There's not normal staffing for that time and day for that volume of traffic. It said that the person handling helicopters in the vicinity was also instructing planes that were landing and departing from its runways. Those jobs typically done by two controllers, not one.
Yeah.
Ah, can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
So we might have just had like the perfect confluence of events, and then, you know, this happens. I just can't think of a scarier And no survivors, by the way. That's official.
And there were reports at first that there might be. Or that there were.
They're saying no. So 64 people on the jet. All 64 died. And then three of the military on the helicopter and all three of them. So, and then when you see the wreckage in the water, like, no one's walking away from that.
Someone said that airport needs to be closed. It was supposed to close when Dulles opened, but politicians kept it open for convenience. Hmm. Basically, it's an obstacle course for pilots because they can't fly over all the monuments. Hmm. So it's a hard... That airport specifically could have factored in here because planes are doing...
Different things than they would normally.
Different things to avoid the monuments. And then, oh, by the way, the government's running helicopters through there for some reason.
Blacked out helicopters.
That to me makes no sense.
This guy says, and again, I'll just take it for what it's worth. Vancouver Ford Text Line says, I work at the Portland Airport. We have military helicopters all the time that take off whenever they want because they can fly lower and away from the runway.
Well, that's where it goes back to the thought that, and this is being, it's widely reported that this airspace is shared all the time.
Yes.
It's not uncommon.
No.
For helicopters,
but if that's
like
the case, you need people monitoring both, not one person.
If you listen to the air traffic controller, he seems like I thought I was going to hear like panic.
Right, I thought so too.
Like move. Like, and you listen to his voice, and he's just is like, hey, we're busy. Can you go to Dulles or can you go to Baltimore? He seems pretty calm, and like it really doesn't seem chaotic until the crash. The only weird thing is. A bunch of other pilots, and again, I know, I love how, by the way, when anything like this happens, instantly everyone becomes...
Experts out of the woodwork.
Yeah, everyone's an expert on Middle East negotiations.
Vaccines.
Yeah. And now we're experts in aviation. I just go by smart people. So when I see a guy who's been a military pilot for 23 years and a guy that's been an air traffic controller for 35 and he's retired, I tend to listen to those people. And everyone says that both of those aircrafts, there's a collision warning system on every modern aircraft that tell you when, not only do they tell you that there is an aircraft approaching, but it tells you how to avoid it. It literally like yells at you. Think about your car when you get too close to something and it says descend to such and such. And that's the one that people are saying they don't know how one of these two aircrafts didn't send off the big, hey, this is a bad idea warning. Get the hell out of here. Hmm.
Does the Buck? You mentioned that the air traffic control was short-staffed.
Yeah.
Do they ever get roped into this in terms of responsibility? Like, why was it short-staffed?
Well,
does the air traffic controller ever, you know, get the finger pointed?
Apparently, there's been a shortage for air traffic control for a while now, and I don't know how you go about fixing that necessarily. But
I mean, I just wonder, like,
yeah,
when you're an air traffic controller, do you sign away all your, like, there's no liability, right?
I don't know.
I mean, it's a pretty important job.
Yeah, I mean, it's like an anesthesiologist, right?
Exactly.
Like, where, like, you are just trying to do your job like anybody else, but the consequences if you don't do it right are grave.
I do hear, like, people say that it's one of the most high stress,
yes,
pressure jobs.
Yeah.
And well, there's a huge burnout factor. And go watch.
Yeah, the consequences for a mistake are insane.
Well, this, right? There is a, and I don't remember the name of it, but you can look it up. There's a documentary about this, 9/11. Once they realized what was going on, every flight in the United States had to be grounded immediately, and it fell on air traffic controllers to locate planes, find out whether or not they've been compromised, and get them to the nearest airport. And they say it's one of the greatest achievements in aviation history is landing all of those planes safely. And it was like an hour and a half long, and it was really, really interesting and will give you a true appreciation for what those guys do and how chaotic that is. And then you throw in a bunch of military, like you said, regularly military pilots just cruising around.
Yeah, it, as somebody says on the text line, it seems unnecessarily risky, and it does.
And I guess if the thought is you haven't had one of these incidents in decades or, you know, then what's the issue?
But now we
found out.
Does it make you think? I mean, I don't know.
About changing policies? Yes.
No, like someone said, they got on an American Airlines flight today and the pilot came out and like addressed the entire cabin and stressed, hey, we're going to get you there safely. Like, does any of that stuff make you hesitant to, like, I mean, when we had all the doors falling off and all that, and we had whistleblowers dying, and it just feels like, I don't know, I know it's the safest form of travel, and it's not even close, but doesn't it feel like air safety the last little bit has been a little...
Yes.
Yeah, it's been a little scary.
It does.
And yet we all get on airplanes.
It's still too rare.
Do you think about it at all?
No, I never do.
You just get on and you're like, whatever?
I do. Well, one, I can't control it.
No.
And two, it's still too rare to really worry about it. Plus, I mean, again,
you're
worrying about things you can't control.
Yeah.
If you really are worried about it, don't fly.
Don't get on, yeah.
But no, I mean, who does that?
Yeah, nobody.
I got to get to Vegas, dude.
I think, oh, sorry.
We're yeah, right.
Oh, whoop. Are we on the first break?
Yeah, yes. We are. We got to talk in there. But at least we avoided Tonya Harding erotic fiction.
Yeah, we did.
TV news coming up on The Fan.
Kickstart your new year with a rewarding career at the HK Group. HK is the leader in heavy construction and contractor site materials with over 80 locations across Pennsylvania, New Jersey, and Delaware. HK offers a wide range of opportunities, including heavy equipment operators, CDL drivers, mechanics, site supervisors, engineers, and project managers. 100% paid benefits designed to promote healthy living, financial stability, and career growth. The HK Group does not discriminate. Apply today at hkgroup.com. It's your future opportunity.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, we share stories that are funny, strange, heartbreaking, and above all, true.
I myself have been married for 56 years. Unfortunately, to four different women.
It turns out the people I was looking for all my life is what you people would call nerds.
Follow and listen to The Moth on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.